You entrepreneurs, today we have Shannon Bierick. So she is a woman empowerment coach. This is a little of a unique episode we have today, being that she's kind of in the earlier stages of starting her business. And I'm assuming some of you listening right now can probably relate where she's at. She fought the depression at a younger age, from the age of 12 to the middle of her 20s. And she kind of kept fighting through that until one day she found her passion life, and she's working on that journey. Again, hopefully you guys can appreciate where she's coming from and where she's going to be, and maybe we'll have her on in the future and get to hear her journey a little bit farther. So please subscribe, please share, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going
to
show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, so we are here with Shannon Bierick.
Right, hello, how are you, Vinny? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. So I know we were kind of talking about beforehand, so a women's empowerment coach, and this is, I think, one of our more unique episodes because you really haven't had too many clients, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about yourself and your business.
Yeah, so no formal clients yet. I have been helping women for many, many years, mostly kind of like accountability, friendships, people coming to me when they have problems, and I help them work through it. So pretty much a lot of life coaching, to be honest with you. However, I hadn't had any formal training, and now I have. I've been in the personal development space for the past 3 years and have been working on it for a long time now. Like every day, it feels like a week, you know what I mean? Always learning and trying to research more to find out how I can help other people.
So what got you in the avenue of looking to be a life coach?
So probably coming through my own personal struggles. When I was younger, I suffered from depression and suicidal thoughts and things like that, and depression can still kind of creep up, you know, in everyday life occasionally, but I've been able to really get a hold on that, and it's all about mindset and being able to kind of flip the script on how I'm thinking and feeling instead of letting all of those emotions completely consume me and take over and bring me back into that dark place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So tell me about like some of the, I guess, growing up mm-hmm. with that kind of mindset, what happened with the suicidal thoughts?
You know, that started, honestly, probably when I was 12.
Wow.
Having those just negative feelings and emotions, a lot of it is based on just insecurity. That's really what it boils down to. Now looking back, now I can recognize that's what it was. Just wanting to be accepted, not feeling like I was at all. Bullying was a huge problem, you know, so that really takes a toll on a child. And obviously, you know, it kind of fades away as an adult, but that still stuck around. I was still bullied very much into my early 20s and, you know, not as much and as drastic as like middle school and high school and things like that. But yeah, those are definitely problems that I've had to overcome. And I'm happy to say that now it's something that I don't even really think about anymore. And I've come so far. I'm actually really proud of myself.
So the bullying, I hear that stuff in school, mm-hmm. right? You have the bullying early mid-20s?
Yeah.
The bullying still?
Yeah, absolutely.
So where was that coming from?
So at that time, I was working at a sports bar back home in Palm Springs. And I'm a pretty lean person. I've never weighed more than 135 pounds. I'm 5'7", and that 135 was at my fittest that I'd ever been. So I've always been a pretty skinny person, and people used to tease me all the time for being flat-chested. Hmm. And I mean, grown men, when I was in my very early 20s, I'm talking like 20, 21, 22, they would tease me, coworkers. Which, looking back, that was total sexual harassment, obviously. But, you know, those things still happen, even when you're a young adult.
So, how far did you ever take it? Like, where you're getting brought down, and getting harassed, getting bullied. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your low moment or lowest? Do you have anything like that where it was just like, gosh, dang, you like thought it out?
Not suicidal, not that much. Like, that didn't bring me down the most. That was when I would have my own personal sad thoughts of, you know, just being really consumed with, honestly, it was the fear of not succeeding in life. Mm. When I was little, I'm the oldest of four kids, and all my aunts and uncles, grandmas, grandpas, like friends of mom and dad, oh, Shannon, what are you gonna be when you grow up? And I never knew. Hmm. And that was always a problem, I thought, because, you know, when you grow up, you know, you're supposed to have this success and have a great job and have the house and things like that. And so when I was younger, not knowing what that path was going to be always bothered me. My parents are both musicians, so it wasn't like I had two doctor parents that were like, well, you have to grow up and be a doctor, and they're really, really strict. My parents were always like, you can be whatever you want. We have faith in you. We will trust you to do whatever you want, which is so amazing, but can also be a little bit of a hindrance because I didn't really have any direction at all. I had such a wide open field to go play in that I didn't have anything to really focus on. So
that's kind of an interesting thing, because I was talking to someone the other day where they were afraid of pushing their kids into sports because mm-hmm. I don't know if the kid wants to be in that sport. Mm-hmm. And so you're actually, it would have been nice to get some kind of guidance on the whole other spectrum of everything.
Yeah, it really would have been. And I mean, I played some sports too. I, the same thing, my parents never really were like, you have to go play baseball or you have to go play soccer. I would get into soccer for one grade and then that was it. And I played volleyball for one grade and that was it. And then in high school, I didn't play any sports. I was in theater and I was in photography. So I was definitely way more into the arts rather than being an athlete. And, you know, maybe that's because I had such artistic, musical parents. My mother is also an artist and so are many of my siblings.
Do you think either of either the sports or the arts gave you any sort of self-confidence? Because you didn't really take it with the depression.
Right.
You didn't take it to the actual idea of suicide. I think most people have some sort of depression, mm-hmm. especially when you're a teen and mm-hmm. you're trying to live up to expectations. Mm-hmm. Do you think that difference of the sports or the arts maybe allowed you that kind of baseline that didn't push it to that next level?
Yeah, probably. I definitely had times where, like in theater, for example, we had a play that, I think it was Grease, actually, and I tried out for the play. And I didn't make it. And it really bummed me out. And then when I was a senior in high school, I tried out for the dance team and I didn't make it. And that really bummed me out too. However, being in like the photography field and being in theater really gave me some sort of confidence because I was actually really good at photography and I was pretty good at my acting classes, even though I never got cast. It didn't really bother me that much to the point of like kicking myself when I was down and being really hard on myself, which is something that I still struggle with, is being hard on myself. But yeah, definitely having a creative background and having all of those avenues to kind of like keep me elevated from sliding down the dark path really did help.
So when did you find some sort of path to say, I want to help other people? I've been through these struggles. I didn't know where I wanted to be, had depression. Mm-hmm. When did you figure out I can actually help people in those similar situations?
Okay, perfect. So we're going to fast forward a lot until about 2 years ago. Okay. So I was at a conference in Cancun where my boyfriend of 5 years, he was the MC. And it was the first time I'd ever traveled internationally for a conference. And there was a guy that was attending the conference who had brought his wife. And his wife was not an entrepreneur. She was a stay-at-home mom, lived in a really small like neighborhood or a small city in like Iowa or something like that. And I remember during one of the evenings we were there, we were having a cocktail networking hour, and she was standing to the side, and her husband had come to me and was like, can you please go talk to her? Him and I had developed a bit of a relationship by that time, and he's like, can you please just go talk to her? Like, she's really shy and is feeling really insecure. And I'm like, yeah, of course, I'm gonna go help this woman, because I remember how she's probably feeling, because I was just there a year ago. Probably not even a whole year at that point, probably like 9 months or something like that. So I went up to her and started chatting, and she was really, really shy at first, didn't really know why I was even talking to her, which I can relate. And I just started asking her questions. And she had never been to a conference before.
What kind of questions?
So I had asked her, I said, so this is your first time attending a conference, right? And she's like, yeah. And I said, do you even know what the conference really is about? And she's like, oh, I think so. It was a real estate conference, mm-hmm. actually. And I was like, have you looked inside of the ballroom? She's like, no, what do you mean ballroom? Like, are like dancing? And I was like, no. I was like, well, would you like me to go show you? And she was kind of hesitant at first, just felt uncomfortable. And at that point, I was like, no way, girlfriend. Like, I'm taking you. So I grabbed her by the hand and I took her down the hallway. And I brought her into the ballroom, showed her, hey, look, check this out. See at the head of the room, there's a stage there. My boyfriend is the MC. Do you know what an MC is? No? Okay, an MC is the person that's kind of running the show, introducing the speakers, yada, yada, yada. And see how all of these tables are lined up in a row and there are all these chairs. So your husband and all the other people attending the conference are sitting in these chairs, listening to the speakers and learning. They're learning about different topics per different speaker. And so having her be in that room, just showing her what a ballroom was and a conference is, made her feel so much better. And she had such a better and clearer understanding of why she was even there in the first place. And that was really rewarding to me, because by the time we walked back, her whole demeanor changed. She was smiling and was asking me questions and things like that. So that was probably the first moment in a professional setting that I felt like I really made a difference in someone's life.
So she was there with her husband, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And her husband didn't tell her what the event was for?
I'm sure he probably told her it was a real estate conference, but she didn't know, like, what are these people talking about on stage? There are speakers, like, what's even a speaker? She was just very, very naive.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was English her first language?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Regular old, like, Midwestern woman, Caucasian lady, yeah. Her husband was in the military, I believe, for a long time, and then became a real estate
professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's surprising. I'm trying to choose my words very wisely. I mean, I guess shock that not have the understanding of what those things were.
Not at all.
I think that's probably sometimes in your profession, my profession, you have to be very careful to assume anything,
mm-hmm.
and assume what someone knows. And so my guess is that when you're talking to anyone now, you start out from the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, was it John Wooden? You know who he is, a basketball player?
Oh, no.
Okay. He's he used to be a college basketball player, uh-huh. with like the highest percentages of winning, whatever. But the first thing he would do on the first day would be to show how people, to tie people's shoes. So first put the socks on the right way. And then you tie your shoes this way.
Okay.
He goes, you have to know the basics before you can do anything else, before you can touch the ball.
Yeah.
And so for yourself, you have to break it down to the very basics for everyone. So anyways, okay. Got off on a tangent there.
Well, no, that's a perfect example too, though, because, I mean, she didn't even know what a ballroom was. She thought it had to do with dancing. You know what I mean? So that's at that point is when I told her, I'm like, I've just got to show you the room. I know it's down the hall. The doors aren't locked or anything. It's an empty room. And I can just stand in the back and show her. Because I didn't know at my first conference, I had no idea what to expect.
So
at all.
So what's next? So you get that feeling, mm-hmm. I just helped someone out. Mm-hmm. I changed the way they looked at something.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened next?
So after that, let's see, I joined a mastermind group. So that was something that really, really changed my entire perspective. I had originally been pretty closed-minded, didn't even know what a growth mindset was very comfortable with just going to work, coming home, watching Netflix, making dinner, just kind of not really doing much with my life, to be quite honest. And it was after I joined these mastermind groups and I was surrounded by an incredible tribe of people who were really inspiring and who motivated me to be better myself, that I was able to communicate with some of those people in the group. And then it branched out, you know, exponentially, helping other people, mostly women, but some men too, actually, just helping them really dig deep into what their problems are, what their goals are, what they're struggling through, and helping them get to the conclusion of how to fix it, or what kind of conclusion they need to make in their job or their romantic relationship or whatever it might be. I have a lot of different examples that I could talk about.
So you said that you got training in the coaching aspect of it, right?
Yes, some coaching in these mastermind groups, but mostly I've been reading lots of books and researching a lot online. I have coaches, I have mentors, so I've been on the receiving end and have been kind of doing it on my own.
What are some of the tidbits that you've kind of picked up from that woman that talked to 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
to who you are now? What are some of the tidbits you've learned and some of the knowledge? Would you have handled anything different with that woman that you met 2 years ago? You
know, in the as opposed to right now?
Yeah.
I mean, perhaps, yeah. I mean, honestly, what it comes down to coaching is you need to ask a lot of questions and you need to have that person come up with those answers themselves. You are their guide.
Yeah.
And that is something that I've really, really learned about that I didn't really expect when I first thought about the idea of coaching people. I thought that coaching meant I have to be a problem solver.
Yeah.
But what I've discovered is that I'm not a problem solver. I am just a facilitator to help somebody solve their own problems.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I do some coaching too, and it's one of the things you can tell someone what to do, mm-hmm. but unless they actually come up with that conclusion themselves, it's not going to really mean anything.
Mm-hmm. It might not resonate as well.
Yeah, exactly. What's some of the hurdles you've had to overcome? And I know it's still fairly early in the business that you're building, but what so far, what are some of the hurdles you've had to overcome to get to where you're at?
Yeah, so some of the hurdles, I guess I would say, would be, you know, imposter syndrome. That's huge. You know, when you have a goal that you're trying to achieve, but you haven't actually gone and done it yet, you can start feeling like, well, who am I to be coaching someone if I haven't even gotten myself fully figured out yet? Or, you know, you're trudging along and you're thinking, okay, I'm doing such a bang up job, but then life gets in the way and you get distracted or you have to go out of town, and then all of a sudden a week's gone by and you haven't been doing any more research, and then you start feeling bummed out and down, and then you're beating yourself up, and then the negative self-talk starts happening. And that's something that when it does start happening, you really have to have a really good mindset to pull yourself back out, because it's a slippery slope to go back into that depression and negative self-talk that just will snowball into some terrible stuff, and then you are going to find yourself standing still and not moving forward at all. And that is not a good place to be.
So what pulls yourself out of those kind of moments?
Honestly, meditation.
Okay. So So what does that look like? I mean, I think I was listening to, I think, a podcast, and they're talking about the idea of meditation. It's all fairly the same. It's about finding a way to get to a quiet space.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What's your technique of, I guess, getting there?
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about this. So what I do in the morning is I have my normal morning routine. I can go into that, but basically it just starts off with like getting coffee, getting a full pint of water, and then like I have a little ritual that I do, and then I just sit down and quietly turn on my meditation app. It's called Breathe. I don't get anything for plugging it, and I enjoyed it so much that I actually spend more on that app than I do Netflix. Like I used it so much that all the little free meditations, like I ran out of them. I'm like, okay, I can keep listening to the same ones, but I really, really enjoy this. So I bought it and I just flip through and I see like they have titles like letting go of resentment or being more playful or attracting abundance, right? And I'll just swipe through and see how I'm really feeling in the morning. And if I'm feeling bummed out, maybe I'll choose one that's about being happier. And just recently, I was having a hard time with that imposter syndrome that I was just talking about. And I had been off of my routine and felt really, really low. So I was doing my meditation in the morning. I hadn't done any for like maybe a week and a half. And I did one and it wasn't enough. So I did another one back to back. And I did that 2 days in a row where I did double back to back meditations. And it completely, 2 days, I swear to God, it completely changed how I felt. My motivation was way higher than it had been. And that's like the most recent example that I can even tell you. Meditation has completely changed my life.
What, how long of a time was that meditation take?
Yep. So, you can do a 5-minute meditation. You can do a 30-minute meditation. What I would recommend for people who haven't done it before is try a simple 5-1 and do a guided one. That's what I listen to. I used to do just my own in my head, just silently. But I really enjoy listening to the meditation. It really helps me discover new things. And honestly, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And, you know, the first, like the two that I did the other day, right? I did a 12-minute one, wasn't enough, and I did a 25-minute one. So I think the next day in total, I did like 40 minutes of meditation between the two of them because it just wasn't enough. And I knew that I needed more. And after the second one, the second meditation in a row, both days, I felt so much better. And I'm telling you, just those 48 hours, my whole way I was thinking and feeling inside completely changed. And I feel so much better now.
Wow, that's impressive. I don't know if I can meditate or focus for that long of a time, but that's really powerful out there.
It's way easier than everyone always thinks. It really is, especially if you do it in the morning. Mm. Because if you've just woken up, you're still pretty mellow. Like, you're still pretty chill. You know, if you're doing it at like 8:00 at night and you've been stressed out and you were just driving in traffic and stuff. Actually, though, that's a really good time to meditate is after you're done with the traffic because it can really calm you down.
I do. I have an anchor, my morning anchor, where I go to the gym. And once I go to the gym, it kind of resets my whole day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just something that's consistent throughout the morning. Mm-hmm. allows me to kind of reset it. So everything that happened yesterday is yesterday.
Yeah.
Today is today.
Yeah.
Tonight. Totally. Yeah. So what if you could look at that person at 12 that was just getting bullied, mm-hmm. or 14, whatever that, mm-hmm. whatever time frame right there, what kind of advice would you give that person?
Oh man. Don't worry about what other people say.
Yeah.
It's all about how you feel inside and, you know, your family and friends, how they love you, and just haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up.
I think one of the big things is that I picked up for my own self-growth, mm-hmm. was that be careful to judge people's outsides by your insides. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, a lot of what happens times with bullies, mm-hmm. that they're insecure about something. So yeah. They have to pick on you to basically allow them.
Hurt people. That's exactly what that is. Yeah. You know, it's funny because of how I've been, my personal growth path. You know, it's interesting when I see people who are doing something cruel or mean or just being really nasty and negative. It's interesting that you use the word judge. Like, I don't do that snap judgment like, God, that person's such an a-hole. You know, I go, wow, that person is suffering and that really sucks. I hope they can, you know, find some solace in their life.
Have you heard of Landmark?
Yes.
I haven't gone there, but I talked to people. I probably should go there, mm-hmm. just for self-help things. But one of the things they'll talk about that I've heard is when you, like you're saying, mm-hmm. They're doing the best they can with the tools they have. Mm-hmm. And so you can't be mad at that person. They're just doing the best they can with the tools they have. So you can't be mad at them.
Yeah.
So what's the future of your business? Where are you taking your coaching into the future?
Yeah, so I am launching my coaching course August 19th. Wow. I'm hoping to have 5 women in my group coaching program. It's a 12-week course. Each week we're going to be talking about something new, and the focus is to gain more clarity, self-love, and confidence in your life. And I am going to have about an hour call each week, depending on how many women join my group. If there are 10 women, then I'm going to do probably a 2-hour call every week. They will have a private Facebook group where they can speak to each other in a community setting. And yeah, I'm probably going to have one live event after it's over, which I'm excited about too. And yeah, that's coming up really soon.
So for the live event, how does that work? Are you already putting stuff in place of what you want in that event?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so for the closed group, for the coaching group, it's not going to be a live event to the public.
Yeah.
It would just be for them. So it would probably be a more casual kind of retreat style.
Okay.
Just a one-day event, you know, meeting in the morning, having lunch in the afternoon, and then having like another session, like a breakout session of round tables, and then going out to dinner or something like that.
Yeah. And so building out your platform, mm-hmm. do you have a mentor? You said you had some coaches yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, there's a local woman. Her name is Jessica Yarborough. She is a brilliant CEO badass. She is so freaking smart. I just came back from a 4-day retreat with her, where we were just pedal to the metal, nose to the grindstone. She actually really helped me format what I wanted to do for my coaching program, which is why I went to this retreat, because I really needed to just get away and fully immerse myself in my work. I had a lot of it built out already. I've been building it for probably about 3 months now, and she was really, really helpful. She's pushed me out of my comfort zone a lot too, so that's good.
If you can be vulnerable, mm-hmm. I'm gonna try this question right here.
Okay.
Because you're newer in the business,
mm-hmm.
what are you most excited about with starting the business, and what are you most scared about starting the business?
Okay, so the most scared, I'll start with that one first, is I'm scared that no one's going to want to join. You know, that's my fear, is that no one's going to want to join. But what I'm most excited about is the friendships I'm going to make after it's over, and seeing the camaraderie between the women that are going to be in this group coaching setting, seeing them flourish and transformed. Because that's ultimately my goal, is to have these women who... that, like that woman from 2 years ago, closed mindset, really scared and insecure, and have, you know, these women completely transform and be full of confidence and self-love and have a lot better understanding of how they want to live their life.
So if you guys are listening right now, let's help Shannon out, and you might need some help yourself. What's the best way to reach out to you, Shannon? So for all these people listening that might need your service.
So you can find me on Facebook or Instagram at Shannon Bierick, ShannonBierek. And just hit me up in the DM.
All right. Sounds great. Well, hopefully you guys listening got some great information. And we all go through depression. It's just a matter of getting through it, working through it, and finding your passion. And it sounds like Shannon's on the right path towards her passion, and her passion's to help people out and get
out of their own way.
Exactly. All right.
Get out of your own way.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you listening, and please subscribe, share, and tell your friends.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.